All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us today, that you would fill us with your spirit, that you would give us wisdom, Father, that you would help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear, Father, that we might maintain this faith that was once delivered to us, Father, that you'd help us be faithful to you and bring glory to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. I want to again extend greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to open the Bible to Jude. Again in verse 1. It says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. I just want to stop there for a moment. Just read those two verses before I go on. Or look at them a little bit. I've told it many times how I appreciate these small letters of these men who walked with Jesus. The disciples that actually lived with him. Walked with him. Talked with him. Saw his miracles, saw what he did, saw who he was. They were close to him. And I just have a special appreciation for the small letters they wrote and just the simplicity of them. You know, we can get into a lot of theology and some of the other things, but these men who actually are not telling the history of his life, but are actually instructing others about him and how to live. And anyway, and then the second verse, it says, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. It's just such a blessing to see almost all of these letters, the desire, the expression of what these letters are meant to do. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Just what a nice way to start a letter. And that's the way these people did it. And then verse 3 says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Is he, while he was contemplating writing these letters, while he was writing about the common salvation, you know, he said, I felt the necessity to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once handed, handed down to the saints. That's what I want to talk about this morning. It's so easy for us, you know, just writing the common salvation. Just writing down the history. Just writing down the instructions. We want to have everything figured out. We want to understand everything. We want to live a safe life. But in his instructions, he said, But I felt the necessity, and I'm going to use the King James way of saying this, that you earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You know, we could dissect everything that means, and we could go into all of those things, and we could try to figure out everything that he meant. But the key is that we earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Whenever we read this, we know that this faith means something. And we've talked about it before, that this faith, and we can go back to the teachings of what Jesus actually taught, and we can contend for those specific teachings, and we believe that they ought to be maintained, and we believe that those who have the faith will maintain the teachings of the Bible. That it does take an element of that the heart of everything that Jesus taught and the Bible teaches us, there's a purpose for it. But we can maintain all of those things spotlessly and still not have the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We are so, as a people, so prone to try to latch hold of something that's safe for us. To try to get everything pinned down, to get everything in a box, to where we can stand on a solid rock and say, I've got the faith that was once delivered. And so we stand on that solid rock of our faith. And that's what we want. That's what we're striving for. That's what we think is what we need, is that security that offers. But faith is not that. You know, we think of the time when Peter was in the boat, and they were struggling to get across the sea. And the men were in the boat, and there was a storm, and it was hard, and the safe place to be was in the boat. And they looked out, and they saw Jesus walking on the water. Here they were thinking that they were safe in this boat, even though there was a storm. And Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, let me come out there to you. And so Peter got out of that boat and began walking on the water. There was nothing solid there. There was nothing secure. He had left the safety of the boat. And he was out there by faith, walking on the water. Faith is nothing that you can actually have nailed down. You have to live it out, walk it out every day. We want security. Men are striving for security and safety. The only safety there is in this thing called faith. The only security there is in this thing called faith. And to get a hold of that, we have to step out where there is no security, where it appears there is no safety, where there is, we're leaving the safe behind and walking. We can either strive for this security so we'll feel better now, this safety where we can feel better now, this salvation that we can hold on to and know that we have and feel good about ourselves now. Or we can step out by faith and obtain the only thing that will last through eternity. You know, we look at things today and it's hard for us to see eternity. We see religion all around us. We see church. We see people keeping certain doctrines. We keep people living a certain way. We see those things. But faith has to see through those things to God. Faith has to see past all of that. And that is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It wasn't just a creed. It wasn't just a doctrine. It wasn't just a way of life. It was seeing God and walking in that path. We can have all the outward. We can have all the external. But it's seeing through that we're striving for. Often we hear about passing on the faith. Anyone that has ever got a hold of the faith or got a hold of anything that they thought was worthwhile wanted to give it to somebody else, wanted to pass it on. And the only thing that's worth passing on is that faith. And so people in churches, they have this faith, and so they begin to think, how am I going to give this to someone else? How am I going to pass this on? And so they begin, they sit down, or they begin thinking of a plan of how am I going to pass my faith on? How am I going to pass this faith to someone else? And so they begin to contrive ideas of how to pass the faith, how to give it to someone else. In a church gets a hold of something, some men get a hold of something, they begin walking in that faith, and they begin, well, how are we going to give this to the young people? We're... are the young people going to be a few years from now? How are we going to preserve or save what we have? And so we begin to, well, we need to make sure we keep this doctrine. We need to make sure we keep that doctrine. We need to make sure we keep doing this, and that we teach the children to do it this way and do it that way. And right there is where we leave faith. You cannot do that with faith. The Bible says that the faith that was delivered, in Romans it says, faith is passed by faith. Let me just read it. Romans 1, chapter 1. Verse 17. Well, read verse 16. Just, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. But the righteous man shall live by faith. Right there's the answer. The only way that you're going to pass on anything as a church to anyone else is not because you've come up with a plan to pass it on. It's not because you can force your ideas on the next generation. It's not because you can just teach them and drill it and teach them and drill it and teach them and drill it that you'll pass it on to anyone else. The only way your faith will pass on to anyone else is by faith. It's passed from faith to faith. Not creed, not doctrines, not ideas, not plans, not rules. It's passed on by faith. For the just shall live by faith. How do you pass on what you have to the next generation in the church? You live by faith right now. We want something that, oh yeah, I picked it up a long time ago. I got saved and I know I've got salvation. And I believe 40 years ago I got saved. And I've got it. I know it. That's not faith. That's faith in something that happened. That's faith in an experience. Many people have faith in a religion or in a creed or in Jesus' teachings. Their faith is in those things instead of God Himself, instead of Christ Himself. And a righteous man lives by faith. He's not got something all built up, saved on, solid as a rock that he's standing on. Every day he has to get up and live by faith today. That's not anything that you've just got tucked in the bank. That's not sitting back and, I've got much stuff. I can eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he was talking about when this foolish man went and tore down his barns and built bigger. He had it all figured out. He had it all. He had all of his doctrines laid out. He had all his security. And he was just wanting to make sure and get more and more of it. But that wasn't the faith. Faith is starting over every day. The just shall live by faith. We talked about last night, even out on the street preaching. We're not trying to teach someone a creed. We're not trying to teach someone anything. We're not looking for immediate results when we're preaching. We're out there trying to look for someone that has just a glimmer of faith that might be able to catch a little faith by what we're doing. And it be passed on. And God can get a hold of it. And they can take that faith and follow the Lord themselves. We want it all secure. We want it all planned out. But that's not how faith works. Faith doesn't work out the way we have it planned. Sometimes our plans are turned completely upside down. And if our faith is in our plan, or our faith is in our hope of what we're passing on instead of the Lord, when our plans fail, our faith fails. Whenever what our plans and hopes and dreams and ambitions are all fall to pieces, then our faith all falls to pieces. We want to pass our faith on to our family. And so we strive to teach them this and teach them that and make sure they do this and make sure they do that. Do you know how you pass it on to your family? The just shall live by faith. You might be able to pass on your theology. You might be able to pass on your doctrines. You might be able to pass on your religion. You might be able to pass on your church where they can just keep the church on and going. But the just shall live by faith. They're not trying to pass on anything. They're not setting their future in what they pass on down the road or what they're able to maintain while they're here. The just shall live by faith. Every day is just a day that they're living by their faith. And that is the only thing that is worth passing on. All of the preparing and all of the plans and all of the teaching and all the other stuff that you're trying to do to make sure your children are preserved or your family is preserved or your church is preserved or whatever you're trying to preserve is all worthless. You preserve jelly, and it'll keep for a while. But when you try to preserve your soul, or you try to preserve anything else, it'll spoil. It'll rot. It's no good. Because it's faith. Now faith. The faith that you have right now that must be maintained tomorrow and kept again tomorrow and chosen again tomorrow. And you walk that faith out the rest of your life. And when this life is over, your faith will be revealed. Then you'll see what your faith is. But if you're trying to preserve it right now, you're trying to keep it, you're trying to make it something, you're trying to maintain something other than faith, that's not faith. It's unbelief. It's unbelief. That's what was passed down. This mysterious thing called faith. It's a trust and it's a leaning on the Lord. We find out about what it says and what was passed on by the Bible. But I don't know how many people are trusting in their faith in the Bible. that are going to be disappointed. Because God didn't say put your faith in the Bible. God said put your faith in me. He's bigger than the Bible. But we've been preserved this Bible because it gives us a little glimpse of men who walked by faith. And it's good for us. And it helps to see someone else that's gone through that before us. And we can see that in other examples in the world. Someone living by faith. They're not walking to the same drum the rest of the world is, looking for safety and peace and security in this world. They're trusting in the one who has the real security and real safe and safety and real peace. That's where faith is. Faith is not in what we see. When what we see is all taken away, what do we have then? Jesus didn't build his faith on those around him that were his kin. You know, one time he was preaching and his mother couldn't get to him, and the people came and said, "Lord, your mother's outside wanting to talk to you." And Jesus said, "Who are my mother and my brethren?" He looked past what was natural. And he said, if these that hear me are my mother and my brother and my sisters. These that hear me, this is my family. This family that can see through faith. Not the guy who's got it all nailed down. Not the family, your natural family. It's those who are walking by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's how you preserve your church. That's how you preserve your family. That's how you preserve your soul. You live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Anything other than that will fall on the day of judgment. You live by faith. We spend our lives trying to secure ourselves. Make sure we're all right. Make sure I'm good. Make sure the church is going to be passed on. Make sure my family is going to follow the Lord. And we spend all our time building these things to try to make that happen. And we miss the only thing that can make that happen. We live by faith. And sometimes all the things we wanted will just be taken completely away from us. We might lose everything. But Satan can't take our faith. Satan can't take that from us. He can make us wonder why we want it. He can hurt us. But what's our goal? What's our goal? Our goal is to be faithful. Not just by keeping the right set of rules. Not just by keeping the right dogma. Not by just keeping the right doctrine. To be faithful to Christ. To be faithful to Him. To walk by faith. Every day. The just shall live by faith. Not what they've done. Not what they're going to do. Not by their church. Not by their family. Not by anything other. But by faith. And those other things get in the way. And they cloud our eyes. And they cloud our vision to what faith is. It's so easy for us to trust in something. Trust in something good. Trust in something right. Trust in something that it looks like has been handed down for 100 years. But the only thing that's worthy of our trust is the Lord. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
I appreciate the verse there, 17 and Romans 1, that says that the righteousness of God is revealed this way.
Right.
That's how that's done. I mean, that's the righteousness of God, not our righteousness, not anything but that.
Right.
And how God deals with mankind, what's right and what's wrong. That's how it's revealed. Anything else
right.
Is our own growth.
Right. That just thought before, how is God's mercy revealed to anyone but by when a man can be merciful to someone else? It's revealed. It's shown. When a man does things that God would do on the earth, people can see it. It's there. And all that other stuff just clouds it all up. But whenever you and I can actually do what God would do in this situation, we can have mercy. We can have patience. We can love. We can do what's right. We can get our hands dirty. We can help. Then God is revealed. Praise the Lord.
God.